Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Today is Saturday, September the 11th, 2021. How come that date is so important? We all know the answer, right? Welcome to the TMGS. The time is now 6.05 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.05 p.m. on the West Coast. And the day I'm experiencing something I've never experienced before, I'm actually broadcasting everything through my phone. I don't have access to my desktop at the moment, but I've never done this before. This is interesting. I was able to bring up everything on the phone, so I'm hoping you guys can hear me loud and clearly. This weekend, you know, last weekend we had the holiday weekend, and now we have the 9/11 weekend. And what do you celebrate on these weekends? Labor Day, now 9/11. I've heard what people are doing, cookouts and celebrating. What is it, though? And not, I mean, I'm not trying to say it's not right to, you know, cook out on a Saturday. But some people are doing it for maybe some of the right reasons or the wrong reasons. I don't know, but we're going to get into that conversation later on. I see there's individuals who are popping up on the board. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to open up a mic. First time I've ever done this on my phone. This is interesting. But I have to open up the mic to my brother in California. I love this brother. I mean, I appreciate him for chiming in when he's available. Last Saturday he couldn't because he was too busy in Provo, Utah, making people laugh. Mr. Timon Ship is in the house. And, man, I haven't been to Provo since I was a kid. And that's another story. But what's up, my brother? How you doing?
Oh, man, doing well. I got in just in time because, you know, it's hot out here. I had to go to the store and stuff.
Right.
Yes, sir, I was out
every
Provo.
Every you go to the store.
Huh?
But how was Provo? How was the show there? You did a show there. You did a performance there, by the way, for you guys who are listening. Tommy not only is a very knowledgeable brother, but he's a hell of a comedian. But you were in Provo, Utah last Saturday. You couldn't make the show last Saturday.
Yeah,
you were fine.
We had a show Friday night, two shows Friday night. That 200 people on the first show, I think 150 on the second. But got a standing ovation for the first show, and second show was really good also. So, but we don't get that tape back until about 6 or 9 months. But it's for Dry Bar Comedy Club. They're about over. They have
right.
like 7 million followers on Facebook, probably almost 2 million on YouTube. So I was part of a group of headliners that were they're really good guys.
But yeah, well, I'm familiar with Dry Bar. I mean, I've watched it, you know, on the internet, and there's been some great comics on the show. I like it. Can you share with the listeners before we get into the topic what Dry Bar is about? Because a lot of folks don't understand
dry
it.
Dry bar means they don't drink. There's no
mm-hmm.
drinking, you know. Also, it's a very clean show. I mean, squeaky clean. No damn, hell, ass. You can't say none of that. You can't. You can probably talk about a lot of things, but, you know, you really can walk it up to the edge, but you can't go over. So you really have to watch your material. Has to fit within its boundaries, or you can't really go there. Yeah. But very strict, very clean. But a great show. I mean, to me as a comedian, if your comedy is strong, it doesn't matter if you got curse words or not. But some guys just want to go dirty. Are you there, Mike? Mike, you back?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. You know what? This is the type of shit I'm dealing with. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you for sharing that information about Dry Bar, because I've been following it and I've been watching it. It's a great comedy show. As you said, it's clean comedy. You guys check it out. I pick it up on Facebook, and I really enjoy it. You don't have to hear, you know, like you said, a bunch of cuss words and everything, and it's not always necessary to make people laugh. So you said that the video will be available when?
They won't put it out for another six. They told me 6 to 9 months because they
wow.
have so many people on there. It just takes a while. But, I mean, it will open up a lot of doors for me, stand-up
mm-hmm.
goes, if the guys who are using it. So if they do it right, we could be
well, man, I appreciate you sharing
really
it.
Some good gigs.
Right. Well, I appreciate you sharing the fact that you were there, and we're going to look forward to it in 6 to 9 months. I'd love to see it, as I said, and I'll say again, you guys check out Dry Bar, the comedy, the individuals on there, awesome comedians. Check it out. I'm definitely a fan of Dry Bar. I'm glad that you shared that. So before we get into the 9/11 thing, speaking of something funny, and I know that you have written a book I've read, and you share some stories from East St. Louis. I got to thinking about some of the craziest things that you've heard your parents say to you, and you always wondered, what the hell does that mean, right? So I got to thinking about some of the things my dad used to say, and I couldn't laugh because then my ass would have got whipped. But I remember one time, my dad would come up with some stuff, be like, say, for instance, you know, the difference, you don't know the difference between shit and Shiola. And I was like, okay, I know what shit is, but what is Shiola? And I remember one time I left home early in the morning, went to my little girlfriend's house. I left around 11 o'clock that morning. And then I went to my little girlfriend's house. Then a friend of mine, and this is when I was in high school, first year or so, I thought I was grown. I could do whatever I want to. They had a cookout, barbecue, and swim party and everything, and I went there. And then after that, we all went to the teen nightclub. Back in the day, there used to be teen nightclubs. There might be some now, but probably few. But went to the teen nightclub, and as usual, what do? You go to IHOP or, you know, Waffle House, wherever you, whatever region you live in. And at 2 in the morning, remember, I left at 11 o'clock the day before. 2 in the morning, I'm going to try to waltz my ass back into the house. And my dad was really good at certain things. At some point, when you're supposed to be home, the door would be unlocked. He'd let you come in. But this time, no, in fact, the screen door would be locked. But this time, the screen door was unlocked. The door was unlocked. And I walked in thinking, oh, well, maybe he wanted me to know. Shit. He was on my ass like white on rice, as they say. And then he came up with this thing that he said, damn it, if you don't call or get in touch, I don't give a damn if you and Diddy Wah Diddy. Where the hell is Diddy Wah Diddy? Uh-huh. So my question is, do you recall some sayings that your parents would say and you'd be like, where the hell did that come from?
Right. Oh, my mother would come up, boy, that girl's bread ain't done. You know, my dad would say, boy, there's two things in life, kill grass, dog shit, niggas. He said, you can move a brother out the
that
project.
That girl's bread ain't
and
done.
Move into a man. And move into a man.
No, hold on a minute. I'm still laughing at that girl's bread ain't done.
Yeah.
That's what
the broken in two left shoes.
That's a good one. I open up the mic to the lady of the house, Miss Janet Davis. How you doing, Janet? Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you, and Timon, and everyone else.
Hey,
good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got my shopping in, so I was able to. Get on the mic,
because
I was trying to get out that heat.
Yes, it's been hot. I turned my air off today because when I woke up, it was 60 in the house. So
Wow.
I knew the air shouldn't have been still blowing.
Huh.
You know, I had it off. I might have to turn it on. I'm on my way back home. I might have to turn it back on, but at least I didn't have to have it freezing in the house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so Michael, you talking about old sayings that your parents used to say?
Yeah. What is something that
I used to ask my mother, what are you eating? She said, cat smell it. I said, what's that? If you catch me eating it, I'll let you smell it. So I used to say that to my kids.
Parents got off on messing with their kids' heads.
Mm-hmm.
It just hit me, and I was just thinking about that. I said, you know, there's some things that used to be, you know, that our parents used to say, and to this day I never could understand it, but my dad had some, and I knew not to laugh because my ass would get beat even more. So I appreciate you guys sharing some of those. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so can't smell it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so today is definitely September the 11th. It's been a couple of decades since the bombing of the World Trade Center. And there are events going on, you know, here in Atlanta, in fact. In fact, before I get into that, I want to say last Saturday was our one-year anniversary. Unfortunately, Timon, I know you couldn't make it because you were in transition between Utah and California. But we celebrated our 1 year as an independent show, and as I said, that I am so thankful to everybody who has participated in the TNGS, all the co-hosts over the years, the continued co-hosts. In fact, I think Officer Crenshaw's going to chime in later on. But and all the guests, we've been blessed to have some amazing guests on the show, not just this past year, but even years ahead of time, and they came back and joined us during the past year. So, as always, I want to thank each and every one of them. All right, I'm back. You know what? Now, see, this is the type of shit I'm really getting pissed off about. And I'm not going to blame Blog Talk. I'm not going to blame Blog Talk for the technical difficulty I'm having here. It could be my phone provider. I'll make sure that doesn't happen when we return. But anyway, let me try to get aboard because I'm on the phone line right now. But just to finish what I said last Saturday, by being the holiday weekend, we didn't get as many as guests that I had anticipated to join us in the show. I'm so thankful that Mr. O'Brien, who's been a guest on the show now, what, three times, Janet? We did an hour with him once, then we did 2 hours with Karen White, host of the show. And then this Saturday, this past Saturday, he chimed in for our one-year anniversary. And Mr. DOA, Derek DOA Allen, super music producer. By the way, he let us know that the new album that he just did with Kim, he is definitely on board to do the next album with Kim. So if you don't have the new one, go get it, or to the next one on that. So thanks to all of them for chiming in and being part of the show. Hold on, let me open up Janet's mic. Hold on a minute. It was shut down for some reason. All right, now I got it back open. Okay, so yes, last Saturday was great, so I appreciate everybody for joining in. So 9/11, as I was saying, that's what's happening today. Do you recall where you were when you first heard about the World Trade Center being bombed, or not really bombed, but attacked?
I don't. I don't remember where I was. I don't remember what was going on. It really, all I heard was, hey, man, it's, someone had told me that, I think, that they had ran into the plane that ran into the building, and that was pretty much it.
Janet, are you there? Okay, I'll open up her mic. But all right, so I'll tell you what was a trip for me is that I recall. No, okay,
I'm
Janet?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, do you recall where you were?
Yes, I remember. I was at work, and I went into the break room to get a snack, and I looked at the TV, and they had a plane in the World Trade Center, Twin Towers, and I was like, "Oh my God!" I said, "How did somebody miss the tower that big?" You know. Then all of a sudden, here was the other plane crashed into the building. So I ran and got on the phone and called my son because he was in the Marine Corps at the time. And before I could say anything, he said, "Bin Laden." You know, he couldn't really talk, but at least I knew who was behind it.
Now, the thing is that I've never been to New York in my life, and a lot of folks are like, "Are you kidding me, Mike? You've never been to New York?" No, I haven't. I've been to a lot of different states across the country between California and Georgia. And I've had a lot of different experiences. Oh my God! When I went through the racism, I went through going through Memphis, through Tennessee. But anyway, but I had never seen the World Trade Center. You have, though, right?
Yes, I.
Yeah,
well, I'm from New York. Yeah.
Right. I know. So you've seen it. Well, when it was existing, you actually seen those. You saw those twin towers when they existed. And like you said, when you saw it on television, so you had a good perspective of what was going on. For me, I didn't. Because looking at something on television looks smaller than what it is when you're actually there, right? And in my mind, I'm thinking it's like a twin engine or a Cessna plane, you know, something like a small plane. Maybe somebody, you know. Flying something small, you know.
Well, they said it was an airline. You know, one of the airlines had crashed into the building. But the Twin Towers was taller than the Empire State Building. And that used to be the tallest building at one time in the United States. Oh, wow. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wow. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. I think we lost Michael again.
Yeah, we lost him again. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Twin Towers was bigger than the Empire State Building, and they used to be the biggest building within the United States at one time. So that was a shock to my system to actually see how that transpired. And then we're all at work watching as many people could get in the break room because it wasn't that big of a break room. And then when the towers went down, it was like, a drastic shock to the system because you knew how big those buildings were. And then all you saw was just smoke, nothing but smoke. So it was I was very emotional today when they were reading the names and, you know, marching down with the flag and to see three presidents, Clinton, Obama, and Biden together, you know, and then to see Bush later in Pennsylvania because, you know, for the people to make a decision to take a plane down, it was a life and death decision. They knew they were going to die anyway, but to be heroic enough to be able to overcome the terrorists and take the plane down because that plane was getting ready to go to the Capitol or the White House, they said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was sad. So I flew to the TV most of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, I'm back. And you know what? This is working out too great. So what I'm going to try to do, it seems like every time I switch over from the foam pad to the actual board on my phone, it's when it clips out. So I'm going to have to jog back and forth and everything. So I totally missed out on what the response was. But what I was trying to share was I do recall the fact that, for me, when that whole thing went down, that night I did an overnight, ironically, at the Radisson Hotel here in Atlanta. The one of their Shannon, you probably remember back when we were doing that job. I believe it was the Radisson. Was it the Radisson?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Right. Okay. And major hotel here in Atlanta, right next to the airport. You see the planes right there. I remember we were doing an overnight job there, and I got home maybe around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and went and laid down for a minute just to rest and fell asleep. And I remember waking up, my TV was on, which is always on, you know, you fall asleep to the television. And as I said, I saw where it showed the first plane striking the building. And in my mind, not seeing World Trade in my life in person, I'm not looking at how huge this building really is. I'm looking at it on a smaller scale. I'm thinking it's like a Cessna, a small plane. And that gaping hole, I'm thinking it was just, you know, that's what I'm thinking. But when the second plane hit, it opened up my eyes to how big that building really was. Right. Because this is not a Cessna. This is a jetliner. And that just blew me away. It really did. And you know what? For me, I mean, I hate the fact of what happened to see all those towers collapse after that. And individuals who risked their lives to save other lives, which they couldn't do, but they tried and lost their lives. To me, that is something that, you know, they talk about Pearl Harbor, which is in Hawaii. But the World Trade attack on American soil is definitely the worst attack to America.
Right.
It definitely is. Definitely
but
the
Pearl
worst
Harbor,
attack.
I've been to Pearl Harbor, and that's a sight to see, too. You know, that to know that we were attacked by the Japanese, you know, because they still have the ships that was in the water at the time. There's a museum. Yeah. So.
Exactly. And also, and they say till this day, oil still comes up from those ships.
Yeah.
Still bubbled up to the surface. But I want to say this as far as us looking at this day, 9/11, and after decades of what has been over, how many years has it been now since 9/11? 20 years. All right.
Yeah.
So what is eerie to me, how many times have you looked at a movie and it has, and they show you the Twin Towers? Have you ever seen that, or you see a movie where it shows you something that don't exist anymore?
Yeah.
Right.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Ain't that a trip? Die Hard. I mean, there's a list of movies that always showed you that the main thing for New York was the Twin Towers, and that was always a shock that you would see in many of movies that were done in New York. And now when you look at these movies, and it's not where they, like, you know, a long period of time that you see the towers, but just a short piece of it, and all of a sudden it hits you, and you're like, wow, that's all gone. Am I the only one?
No.
Ain't that a trip?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And then today to see the hole that they have, like a fountain that goes way down into the ground, it's just, it was like eerie, because I had been to New York to see the Twin Towers. So I know just how unique they were, you know, standing up there. If you didn't see nothing else, when you came in, you saw the Twin Towers hit from a plane, you know. So, yeah, it's just, you know, the so many people got sick, still sick from it, you know, from the toxic food. Yeah.
So do you guys have any friends or family? Well, God bless you if you had any family who passed away. But do you know anyone personally who lost a loved one on this day or on that day?
I don't. I don't have anybody, no, or anyone that was in New York.
Okay.
No, not even.
Wow.
Neither do I.
At least the 3,000 people perished that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw an article about so many of the black firefighters, because remember, there was a time where black men could not be firefighters, but many
mm-hmm.
perished that day to save lives. And I saw a story about this guy whose brother was one of them who passed away, and his brother was one who convinced him to become a firefighter. And fortunately, he didn't pass. But on this day, you know, and it's been 20 years, and we look at what happened to New York. And the reason why I wanted to do this show is because I'm looking at that point in time here in America, I think that's when we actually were united. How come we have to wait for something to happen for us to unite as people? Not be racist, not be, you know, political, but just be a people. Because that was an attack that we could not control. We could not control.
But then you look at, right, but then you look at January 6th, and instead of us being united because of the insurrection, it's more divided. And a lot of the news people and people in Congress and senators and, you know, generals and so many people that was talking today always talked about how divided the country is right now when we should be united.
Okay. Exactly. And the thing is that when we look at today, what's so significant about today is that that was a time that we were vulnerable. We were attacked. It wasn't a racial thing. It wasn't where someone, you know, attacked a political. It was an attack on America. It was an attack on, it didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter how old you were. Not just men and women died, but children died. It didn't matter. They were making a statement. We don't give a damn about you.
Right.
And that's the reason why I wanted to do this show, for us to think about the fact of where, you know, when you got an individual or individuals who can plot and plan something like this and achieve it, that's scary. But every day we sit up here, and here in America, racism is growing. Racism has been growing, in my opinion. I may be wrong.
It's been growing,
like Charles Barkley,
it's just now in the light,
but
instead of being
like
in
Charles
the dark.
Barkley said, I may be wrong, but I doubt it. But here we have these beasts among each other, and here is where 20 years ago, a group of people said, let's go bomb America. Now, I'm not saying that all people who were, you know, from Afghanistan and everything are violent. No, they're not. But that we all know. Or from, you know, or from other countries are violent. We all know. There's just a certain sect of people in those countries. But then we have people right here in America that are violent. Every day somebody dies. Every minute somebody dies from violence or hatred.
Just like a protest is getting ready to happen on the 18th of September, and they're already putting the gates, the fence back up around the Capitol so that it won't be as bad as it was before, because they don't want to get caught off guard, you know. And I think that's a shame.
Well,
they
said they're going to have another. There's going to be another insurrection.
Yeah.
They're coming to get you. They're coming. White folks say it's time again. Coming to get them. We don't make sure we get you this time, Mike.
But hey, you know, it is what it is, and it's a sad state for America to be a democracy. And I've been paying attention to other countries. Look at China, the leader of China. You know, he's changed some of the rules of elections and everything, where he can probably be for the rest of his life now. Which we know China is a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And China is now, really, I just saw this the other day, China is really trying to make it where, you know, for their people to adhere to American culture. Don't bring that here. You know, this is China. This ain't America. Right? Think about it. You remember Tiananmen Square when they wanted democracy? Now, here's a country that is basically their own people, their own race, per se. And they will attack their own race to not have a democracy. Somebody in that army might have a cousin who's out there yelling, democracy. Now, remember there was a Statue of Liberty, of the makeshift one, and oh man, they made that and they tore that damn thing down. So at what point should America, and staying with trying to get out of Afghanistan, because we've been there so many years, and folks are saying, you know, Biden was wrong for this and that and the other. Now, granted, I'm going to be honest. I'm not saying I agree with everything that Biden does. I'm not saying I agree with everything that any president has done. But I know the difference between a president who's trying to do something that are positive and one that's doing something more negative. But should we have stayed in Afghanistan for another 10, 15 years? And look at the thing is this. Look at the situation of why we went to those countries.
But people know that Trump already was pulling the troops out before they had the election and Biden won. You know, he wanted them out in April, I think it was. So what difference did it make? Biden at least waited a few more months and not pulled them out in April.
Trump could have dealt with the Taliban without the Afghan government being there. He's the one that screwed it up from the jump. He couldn't deal with them, and the Afghan government was not there. He had been doing it the whole time. That's why things didn't work out the way they did. The Trump had already screwed that up.
Yes, he did. And see, but people fail to realize that, and they're trying to put it all on Biden. But Biden said it was an endless war because in the beginning we shouldn't have been in Iraq and all these other places. It should have been straight in Afghanistan because they knew who brought the Twin Towers down. They knew it was Bin Laden.
But you look at Afghanistan, and we mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again. Remember, Russia tried that. And Russia is like a China, like the United States. They have a hell of a military. They couldn't defeat the Taliban.
Am
I right? Right.
They sent them alive and sent them back.
Right. So what made America think that we could go in there and do anything different?
Yeah, but America was going over there for that opium, too.
Oil.
And the oil, right. And I'm not claiming to be an expert on anything that we're talking about, but it's just a discussion of the fact that when I look at certain things and look at where, as we just said, Russia tried it, it didn't work. what makes America, which is allegedly, now yes, I do mean allegedly, the most powerful nation in the world, because we really don't know that for a fact. Thank God that we haven't had an issue with some of the other most powerful countries on the globe, like a Russia or a China.
But they know, Michael,
they know
it's either Russia or the United States, basically. And they were putting a halt on everybody else having it because they didn't want to destroy the world, you know.
But because if there ever was a conflict, it would destroy the world, of course. It would. If there was really a conflict, you know. In fact, what was the biggest worry or conflict that ever happened with America? I know you guys know the answer. Possible conflict.
What is my? What is it?
Office. What was a possible conflict that we would have with Russia? You remember that, right?
With Russia?
Well, we had a nuclear crisis.
The nuclear crisis. There you go. That was back when Kennedy was president, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's when Russia was trying to, in Cuba, put missiles close to the United States to bomb.
Correct. Right. 96 miles away, roughly. 96 miles. That's shorter than a drive from Atlanta to Alabama. And a missile can get there in a matter of minutes. Michael minutes, by the way. So, yeah, that was the closest we've ever had in history with a conflict with Russia in recent times. Am I right?
Right.
So, but here we are.
Except for you got Korea sitting there building missiles in.
Mm-hmm. That's another good topic there. You had North Korea, Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, and the J stands for genius. Not the G, but a J, because he's a genius. First president to step foot into North Korea, and he has this love affair with
Wait a minute. Where did you get he's a genius? The middle of
Wild E. Coyote. Genius,
but with J, not a G. You know his name is J. Trump.
It's supposed to be Joe. It's supposed to be, I thought, Joe.
I think it's John.
Well, it ain't genius.
But I think it's Donald. No, but he says he's a genius. So I figure change his name from John Trump to Donald J. Genius Trump. It's a joke. It's a joke, Janet, because we know that the man has made many of mistakes in his spelling and the meaning of his words. We already know that, right? So, but here's where all of our enemies or our foes that we've been dealing with all of a sudden are his friends. Now, what do you think Donald Trump could do different or could he do anything different in this crisis that's going on in Afghanistan? Some folks say, and I've read in videos of where a lot of folks say, well, if Donald Trump was still the president, this wouldn't be happening, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay. But in my mind, I'm thinking, hell, leaving Afghanistan was not going to be easy no matter who was president. It wasn't going to be easy.
Michael. Donald Trump, they were going to not even let any Afghans come. They were only pulling troops out. They weren't trying to bring people who were interpreters and who helped the military, just like they did in Syria when they messed with and they left the Kurds behind. They were doing the same thing.
Okay.
They were doing the same thing.
Well, that's just my question.
Bobby, I mean, you got a response to that?
Did you think?
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, easy.
That's what they were doing. Yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. Having the same old, same old. Wasn't anything going to be different. That's why when they kept talking, hey, Mike, where's your boy at that was always back in Trump?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly.
Where's your boy at that's always back in Trump?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he and I got into a conversation, but let me open up this mic. 808-498. Welcome to the show. Well, what's your name and where are you calling from, please?
That's Hawaii.
It's Grace in the place.
Oh, it's Grace.
Yeah.
Grace got
yeah.
more
Hawaii
than one. Yeah, I'm not always sure. Grace has so many different phones. She has a 678 number. She has so many cell phones. Hello, Grace. How you doing? Happy Saturday.
How y'all doing, Pete? Happy Saturday. I'm here just looking at the blue waters from the 16th floor on this 9/11 day.
Let me ask you a question. You're in the military, or you work
was,
in the military. You've been a person in the military for years.
That's in the past.
Let me ask you, do you recall where you were on this day 20 years ago? Do you recall where you were when you first heard about the Twin Towers being bombed?
Yeah, most definitely. I was right there in the A, working at the IRA.
In Atlanta, okay.
That was my first job at the IRS, actually.
So you were at work and you saw it on the television in the break room when it happened?
No, I was actually at work. I wasn't in no break room. I was at work, and at that time, my mom was in Jamaica on vacation, you know, and I was thinking that that's where I needed to be. And then I started hearing people, you know, talking about the Trade Center got bombed and what have you claimed. One of my brother who lives in the Connecticut was in the vicinity at the time in New York. Say he saw that one plane that they say went through that building. So I was sitting at work down there in the ATL.
Wow. So you know somebody who actually witnessed it, who was actually there by the World Trade, or you know someone who did it, but you don't know anyone who passed, but you do know someone who actually saw it with their own eyes, right?
I know of people who's passed, and I've been to several of those memoriums up there in New York. I've got a rock right here with me that I got from Ground Zero. I've been there.
Wow. So what as I said, there are people who are barbecuing like they did last weekend for Labor Day, and Labor Day, wow, that's a whole different show. What, in your opinion, should look at when they look back that it's been over 20 years, what do you think that people should take away from this this day? What happened to the attack on America? Do you have a point of view on what folks should be? I can't say celebrate, but in memory of the people who died and the attack on America, and you being a military person and come from a family.
And what I feel is that they ought to make this day, 9/11, a federal holiday, in my opinion.
Mm.
That's what they need to do. And give people time to, you know, to sit back and reflect. Make this day a holiday. They shouldn't just take this day granted for another day. Take this day as a holiday so people can really truly reflect on the lives that were lost in vain.
Yes, because family members have to reflect every year. They have to reflect back on, it's like it's happening all over again. Every year, 9/11. Mm-hmm.
So let me go ahead and go down the line here. I want to, well, Janet, you just responded. Tommy, what's your thoughts? Do you think that this should be considered a federal holiday? I mean, we have holidays. Well, we have holidays that don't make any sense, but what's your point of view?
I think it should, like they said, so that people can reflect on it. It's like a Labor Day. It's something that's monumental, and it should be looked upon that way. And something of that to celebrate it, but also embrace as Americans. You know, they should be able to embrace that and have a holiday, take time off to reflect. So yeah,
imagine 20 years. 20 years. Imagine 20 years have gone, and what have they done? What have they truly done?
Well,
hold
on for a minute, Jan, if you don't mind. I just want to say this is that where, but, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be the devil's advocate on this response. It's still where many holidays that we have, many people don't even know what they're celebrating. They're doing barbecues and cookouts and going on vacation and everything, and off work and celebrating. And then if you ask them, well, what are you celebrating? What do you know about it? They can't really tell you. See what I mean? So how do we do a celebration, or how do we make it a holiday for folks to really concentrate on it? I know all day to day television is like unbelievable, you know, as far as showing the videos and talking to people who were survivors and everything from it. But people aren't doing that even now. So if we made it a federal holiday, what's going to make people really celebrate, or I should say not celebrate, take the day as a remembrance for the people who lost their lives for an attack on two buildings that were just amazing. And when I visualize what I saw in the videos of people jumping out windows to avoid the fire that was behind them and dying. When I look at the videos and seeing where, you know, you hear the crashing of bodies on glass, what is there to celebrate? Because people are not going to do it. Well, people are not going to do it in the way that you say it is. But go ahead.
We said reflect, not celebrate. It should be a day of reflection.
But people are not going to look at reflection.
You still have people who are dying from the toxic fumes that was in there trying to dig people out. And Congress has still, or in the Senate, have not really passed a bill to permanently help those who tried to help others during 9/11.
Okay. But you understand my question, right? So let me get I want to get Grace back in it, and I like what she said, that it should be a federal holiday. I like that response. But Grace, what's your thoughts? What do you think it would take in order to make it a federal holiday? And I agree with you, like Tom did and like Janet did. I agree it should be a federal holiday. We got holidays, as I said, for things that really don't make any sense, but and they're not on the dates that really happened. What do you think it would take for us to make this a federal holiday?
Well, what it will truly take is a new bipartisan party. Get rid of the Democrats, get rid of the Republicans, because you see them two have one agenda. And I'm gonna go into this. Like the devil's advocate, those two have one agenda, and it's this new world, all the shit that they're trying to bring to us. So we need some new party, you know, new faces, new young generation to come in and do what's right. Them old people, they need to. I'm calling them old. The Democrats and the Republicans, all of them have the same agenda, and their agenda is not to get us uplifted. Their agenda is to separate us and keep us down.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that.
What did you say,
Tyler? Good luck with that.
I agree with you.
I mean, old money
still controls the new money.
Well, but I'm saying you got the young folks that you got the old school against the new school, and you got folks who are saying I don't want socialism, but yet you want capitalism. But guess what? Capitalism can't work without socialism.
Right.
You gotta
it's just like this. You know what kills me? And I saw someone post something, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to shift gears, but I saw someone post something on social media about the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue just recently. You all saw that or heard of it, right? Where Robert E. Lee is putting in this horse, and you know it's sitting there in the town square. And they removed it. But what I found interesting is that there was a lot of folks saying, why you want to remove history? You know, if you remove history, our kids won't know this, that, and the other. And I'm like, well, I believe in removing racism. And I believe in the fact that if these people, I mean, if you are a patriot, you love America, the United States of America, if you love America, remember what the Confederate was. They did not want to have a union. So that's common sense. I mean, that – hold on a minute, y'all.
No, they wanted to keep slaves.
Hold on. I'm asking individuals who try to argue with me the point. I'm asking a question. I ask folks, well, if you're upset about the statues being removed, these were individuals – even Stone Mountain, who wanted, they did not want to unite. They wanted to keep slavery. They wanted to keep it separate. They didn't want a union. That's why there was a civil freaking war, to not have a union. Then again, you want to say, I love America. But you know what? You love what you fought against or what your ancestors fought against. Explain that to me. You love what your ancestors fought against.
Watch out, Mike.
Explain that to me. And I have not gotten an answer. I'm just saying, okay, Simon, go ahead. The floor is yours.
I was teasing. I said, watch out, Mike. Now, you know how they feel about their statues. Now, because they know the boy lost.
Those statues were erected after the Civil War. Those statues were erected after the Civil War. And I'm on a shut up, but you know, in Kennesaw, Georgia here, there's a museum in Kennesaw, Georgia that has bunch of statues. Thank you. I've been there.
Right.
And but I've Michael, seen it. And I've looked at it. It's in a museum.
Right. But the people who say that we are erasing history, what the heck do they think people have been doing for all these years? Erasing history?
Right, Janet. Tell them again, Janet. Because it was the daughters of the Confederate who put those statues up in the first place to promote white supremacy.
That's right.
That's my point.
So you want to we're erasing white supremacy, because if it was left up to the up to them, we would have still been slaves.
Yep,
exactly. That's my point, and I'm trying to understand folks who try to argue that these statues being removed is wrong, and this and that. I'm like, no. It's a beginning of doing something different.
Hey, Mike, did you hear that Larry Elder says that the plantation owners deserve reparations?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. A fellow black man said that they should deserve reparations. They gave it to America.
But here's what I'm trying to get to. Here's what I want to get to, and we're still going to talk about 9/11 because it is important for us to remember people of many nationalities died that day. And like I said, that was the one time, well, I won't say the one time because Pearl Harbor was a time where we reached out to everybody except for the Japanese. We put them into camps, okay? America put them in camps because they thought they would probably be a threat to America. But in recent history, that was the one time America came together.
Well, not just America, because there was people from 93 different countries in that World Trade in the Twin Towers.
That's what I just said, Janet, is that where people of many nationalities died from different countries worldwide. There were many people who worked there. And as I said, there was even children who died. Okay? So is that we're now back to what we're just saying about what had occurred at the World Trade is what we're really talking about. But when you talk about reparations and this and the other, Timon had said, think about the inventions that were done. Think about the fact where all the things that slaves created. Because think about the fact that where if the job wasn't done fast enough and everything, you would get lashes, you would get whooped, you would get killed if you didn't get the work done. The worst thing that was ever created was the patent office. Because a slave will create something and the master will patent it. And today, in 2021, we are buying products created or invented by a slave. There are companies out there that are making billions or millions of dollars based on a creation that a slave came up with, but it was stolen. Because black folks could not patent anything. You weren't allowed. I'm sorry. I just got to speak what's on my mind. Look at the most popular whiskey in the world. In the world. Not just the United States. In the world. Jack Daniel's. It took 150 years for us to learn the truth of where that recipe came from. And white folks, if you're listening, I'm not trying to be racist because it's not racist. But when that truth came out, what the hell did you think? You've been drinking Jack Daniels for years.
A lot of people
still
don't know where it came from.
So, but my point is this, and I'm going to shut up and let you guys respond. My point is this. Now they're saying, you know, reverse racism, cancel culture, this and the other. What's wrong with telling the truth about America? What is wrong? How come America as a whole can't understand or can't admit to their lies, can't understand and admit to their crimes to Americans? And you still want to sit up here and say, well, racism was so long ago. Come on, man. Open up your eyes. Tell the truth about America, and maybe it will be a better country.
No, we got alternate facts.
Alternative. Right. That's called alternative. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right. But right now, because of the January 6th, people are desperately trying to change the narrative of what really happened, you know. And
right.
We're in America, and people are in prison, and they're going to have a rally to release the people who got arrested for the insurrection. You know, history.
And Janet, you have a problem with that?
Yes.
Well, Tommy, go ahead and chime in. What is your thought about that? I mean, here they want to have a rally for the people. And in fact, I want to share with you guys, I recently chimed into the Jay King show, and Reese Hoffman was there. That was the person that Tommy was talking about. And he said there was no insurrection. But if you look at the definition, he said there was no insurrection. But if you look at the definition, and I asked him, I said, please, look at the definition of the word insurrection. Are you going to tell me that what occurred on January 6th does not show what the definition of insurrection is? Does that not show that that's what happened?
Uh-uh, because it was a peaceful protest. It wasn't no violence or anything. It was just peaceful. Fun-loving
people. But when
people.
Black Lives Matter marched on, but when a group of Black Lives Matter, and that's another topic,
yeah.
But I want to keep that going because, see, yeah, all lives matter. We know that. But unfortunately, Black lives are when we look at the fact, and the fact is, we are less of the population. Why are we higher as the individuals in prisons and being killed? That don't add up. We're supposed to accept that. Why are we the most imprisoned individuals and the most killed or murdered individuals by the hands of police officers? Okay?
They got rid of slavery and they created prisons. So we still are enslaved.
Okay.
Cheap labor.
So again, I say this. And I want everybody who's on the board to please share your thoughts and everything. But this is my point of view. Again, I say this, that when Black Lives Matter marched on the Capitol, they had the military there. There's photos of where it was just a ton of military on the steps to keep them from coming there. When January 6th happened, which was just, you know, where they were setting up for Biden to be inaugurated and everything, and which I shared on the show with Jay King, with Hopkins. I said, how was it so convenient for them to schedule this rally on the day that Vice President Pence had to confirm the vote? And these people say, and Donald Trump pretty much said, I hope Mike Pence does the right thing. Well, he did.
Well,
he did the right
thing. Donald Trump knew what day they were going to confirm the election. And so that's
January
why he was
6th,
going
right.
on to Right. He was telling everybody to come to the to
right.
Washington January 6th.
Right.
It was going to be
wild. But Janet, this is the point I'm saying. And I agree with you. Pre-planned. You cannot say it wasn't. It was pre-planned.
It was pre-planned.
No, it was pre-planned, you know, for the date of it and for what was happening that day. When Donald Trump said, we're going to march down to Capitol, and he said, quote, I will be with you. Do you see Donald Trump there?
No, he went to the White House to watch it on TV.
Right. So that there, and I'm gonna mention something. Reese Hoffman said that the FBI says there's no proof that this was an insurrection. I disagree with the FBI.
You know what? I guarantee that dude is Larry Elder and waiting to be.
Because
for him
FBI
to say that,
I
know he supports Larry Elder.
Yeah, they said it was an insurrection. They said it was homegrown terrorists. It wasn't from another country. It was within the United States citizen.
All right, so share, in fact, I'm sorry, I want to bring back Grace. Grace, are you still here?
Grace?
Apparently not.
Okay. I mean, you know, we could talk about all this, but really we are talking about 9/11. So as the years go by with this tragedy that happened here in America, I agree that it should be a national holiday. I do agree. It is something that I think none of us will ever forget if we ever watched it and witnessed on American soil. And
but
let's remember and learn that we can be vulnerable. But think about the fact that hold on a minute, please. I'm going to let you speak, but we can be vulnerable from outside sources. This came from a different source. But think about when we do these things, the attacks that we do on each other every day is really all I want to look at. We wait and remember the deaths of 3,000 people in one day,
3,000 plus in one day.
Think about the deaths of thousands of people every day here in America. The deaths of individuals we don't even know. We didn't know those folks who died in those planes and in those towers. We didn't know them. But there are thousands of people that die every day. And I'm not talking about the unfortunate car accident and everything, but, you know, folks who just are crazy and murder folks who are in officers, and not saying every officer is bad, but, you know, we've seen many of deaths of black individuals. Some folks say, well, that's the media. I'm so sick and tired of hearing it saying that's the media. Well, the media, that's their job. To report what's going on, what's wrong in society, what's wrong in community. There are people who don't even drive down a street. They avoid a street. Understandably so. But you got to be realistic that this is what's around us. This is what's happened. And there has to be a way to solve the problem. There's got to be a way. Janet, go ahead. You can speak.
Well, no. I was just going to say that instead of saying a national holiday, it should just be a day of reflection because of the people who have died. It's not a celebration. You know, it shouldn't be a celebration.
Okay.
That's all I really wanted to say.
But you know what? And I want to go to timing next, but. You know what the trip is at, where every holiday we have is considered a celebration. Think about it. Every holiday that we have. Now, President's Day, we don't give a damn about that. It's just on the calendar. It's just there. President's Day, okay, cool. Let me go ahead and get dressed and go to work.
Well, but Veterans Day, they pay respect to the veterans who fought in several wars. You know,
no,
I said,
Janet, I said president, not veterans. I said President's Day.
And I said Veterans Day.
But,
it's not a holiday.
Yes, it is. People celebrate it. There's cookouts for Veterans Day. There's cookouts for Labor Day. We got Christmas. We got New Year's Eve. We got all these holidays. You know, where folks take vacations, this and the other. But my point is that everything that we're supposed to celebrate, or I should say reflect, you know, Veterans Day for the veterans who have served in the war, who have passed in the war, we look at it where it's a day off. Monday, oh, I got a 3-day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm going to fire up the grill. But go back to what you said, reflect. How many people really reflect on what really that day is for? Not many. And I believe as time goes on, people are going to forget what the day is really about. It's Veterans Day. Chiming? You want to chime in on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mike, you know, I don't get, you know, over at Juvenile Hall, we never close. So we always open. I don't care what day it is. You know, it doesn't matter to us. We don't get no day off. Jail never closes. So I don't even know anything about a holiday. I work them all. You know,
there
I don't even
go.
Know about a celebration. I work all of them. You know, like Christmas,
yep.
New Year. And they even threaten us. You better come in. Because if you don't, we're gonna AWOP you, and you're not going to get paid.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not really a good at what those days, I mean, I get what those days are there for, but as far as celebrating them, I've never really, I always had to go to work. So I always look at those days as a regular day. I treated them as a regular day.
Right.
Every holiday that we got. Treated as a regular.
Very
day.
Good point. Very good point. And I think
how I don't get caught up, Mike. I don't get caught up in the crazy. I mean, I don't have children. You know, I understand Christmas and all that stuff, but I never, in my own birthday. The only way I celebrate my birthday but I take off vacation. But I celebrate my birthday is coming up next Thursday. So that's vacation.
Oh, okay. Well, happy birthday in advance, my brother.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Turning the big 5'7", the big 5'7", coming in, and would love to retire soon. I just a good friend of mine that worked with me just let me know. He said, "Ship, you know I'm gone in 6 months." I said, "Oh no, man! Worked with this guy almost 30 years. You know, everybody'd be like family. Worked that long. There's only a couple of us left down at Juvenile Hall. That I even know. I don't even know nobody. Only a few left. He had gotten a bad car accident, so he definitely his son graduates next year, and so he's good to go. Son's a senior. And he said, "Man, I'm done." I said, "Okay. I get it." Yep.
So you say you're going to take a vacation?
Yeah,
well,
I won a raffle job. I got a 2-night stay at Embassy Suites in Valencia, California. So I'm going to enjoy that. Yeah, I already made my reservation. Go over there and get some me time.
Sounds good.
And don't have to go back to work till the 10th of October.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, but Janet, now that's because I have 863 hours of vacation time.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do you have?
Well, I didn't use my time up because I used it when I needed to go perform. So I would let my time build up.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, wow. You know, probation. They said your stuff gets to build up. Yeah, you know how county
Look,
is. County
I used to, have 6 weeks vacation and 10 sick days, so really it was 8 weeks that I could play with, and I used to take a whole month off for my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can imagine.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing for me. They said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I don't need to go nowhere. I ain't got to go to work." So it's open.
Well,
as long as I ain't
got
to go to work, we're good to go.
Wow. So I think we lost Mike again.
Oh, we did? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't said anything. Normally, he tells me to hold up, wait. So.
Yeah,
wow.
I've actually been on here longer than I thought because it's been over an hour. Like you've been,
wow.
I got stuff to do.
Wow.
Because he started.
Well, I'm back.
Oh,
I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back, and I apologize to all of you. I'm having really some major technical difficulties here with my phone. It keeps dropping. I don't know if it's my phone service or Blog Talk, but it might be my phone service because they've been sending me text messages to go to T-Mobile, and maybe they're just doing this to make me do it. When we finish this show, as I said, I really love when you guys come on and talk about these topics. I love keeping the show going, looking at us being on hiatus. But it's just a great topic to talk about on this day. Truly appreciate you guys being involved and sharing. It seems like every time I go to the board on this phone, that's when it drops. And so I try to go to the board to see if anyone has hit the number one. And by the way, for all of you that are listening live, you can hit the number one and share your thoughts or comments. I'll open up your mic and let you share your thoughts. I see a 202 number here, but Grace is still here on the board.
Yes, and I've never. He had me.
Oh, okay. And I thank you, Grace, for calling in. By the way, you guys, that's Grace. That's why I appreciate her support for the show. She's been a friend of mine for a few years now, maybe about 4 years now, Grace, I guess. So for her to chime in and share the fact that, she's in the military. Now, let me ask a question. Again, what do you think about what has happened with this whole thing with the Afghanistan thing? Have you ever served overseas or at all, or just behind the scenes here stateside? And do you know anyone who had to, serve overseas and what they might have shared with you?
You talking to me?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I'm talking to Grace.
Well, I served from 1987 to 1996.
Okay.
I have had two tours. No, I didn't serve in Afghanistan or Iraq or Saudi. All of my buddies served. The first time I got out was in 1990, so I tried to go back in. And just as I was going back in, that's when the Desert Storm, Shield, and stuff came about. So like I said, all my friends that were down there in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, that was my first duty station, they served. So I was trying to go back in so I can be over there with them, but that was not destined in my plan. So I did not go to Afghanistan. The only place they sent me was when in 95, when that president was getting ousted in Haiti, that's where they sent me. So no, I did not go to Saudi Arabia or any of that. But I have tons of friends that went there and served, and they're up in their feelings. They're up in their feelings now because some of them were in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia. They open their feelings and feel like they.
Okay, so, and I like that you said that because I've heard that where all these 20 years that we have been in Afghanistan, and you guys remember that the U.S. military trained an army there, billions for billions of dollars for all these years. And for what is what a lot of individuals are asking. Now, with that question being asked, the survey or the poll showed that most Americans think that it's best that we get out of Afghanistan. So which way is it? Is it where the Republicans say that, well, let me finish. Is it where they're saying, well, Biden's doing the wrong thing, but he don't know what he's doing, everything. But the majority of Americans are saying, get out of Afghanistan, because in most people's mind, and I'm just speculating, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. Janet, go ahead. You were going to check. Anybody want to respond? Okay, no one's saying anything.
Yeah, I thought Janet wasn't answering. So what I'm saying to Michael is, I feel like we should not go into those places. Because I'm number one, those people, they kill for anything. They bomb themselves for any damn thing. We're not off that type of, I don't even know what to call it. Those people would bomb themselves in a heartbeat just for whatever, you know? And so we should just let them be. I know we're trying to help or they were trying to help, but those people, they're dedicated to their religion or whatever they serve or whatever. And they will strap up in a heartbeat and don't care. So we should just let go. Hello?
Can y'all hear me?
Hello?
Hello, Michael, are you there? Check one. What happened to the show?
I don't know what happened. I'm trying to take a look and see what happened here. Damn, hold on a minute. Let me take a look at the board, see if people are still there. Who am I talking with? Janet?
It's me, Michael.
Oh, it's you. Okay.
Michael, it's me.
Okay, hold on a minute. I'm trying to find out what happened. I'm looking at the switchboard. My phone call dropped. Oh, my goodness, what happened here?
Well, it's not the first time you dropped. I think you dropped now a second time or
third time. It's showing that I'm here, and it's showing that they're still on the board. So let me hold on a minute. And I'm surprised that I got you, but I don't have anybody else. Let me try to dial back in. I got another 20 minutes roughly left. Can you still hear me? Okay. So let me go ahead and see if I can get back in here. Hold on a minute. Let me go to studio. All right, I'm going to hang up and dial back in to see what happens. This is crazy.
You unmuted me, finally? Hello?
Okay, so I got the board back open. I finally got a chance to open up the board again.
Wow.
Yeah. Ball Talk, or I don't know if it's Metro, if it's Ball Talk, but this has been crazy. It's taken me forever to get back online.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize, you guys. Please forgive me, but I don't know what the hell is going on. This shit is crazy. 282-210, I see you've been sitting there in the cut listening. to the show. Thanks for standing by. I appreciate that. I think I know who that is. But, okay. So we're back. And, you know, my phone just keeps dropping. And this is like the third time. And I'm really sick of this shit. I'm going to have to fix this for the future. But, and it's going to be done. But anyway, so so far, the conversation that we've had, and this being 9/11, and that's been our topic, I really want to appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening to the points of view. And we have about maybe 13 minutes left to chat. Jenna, I can be on the board twice.
Yeah.
808. Who was
808 was Grace.
Oh, that was Grace, yeah. That's right. So I think she's back. And what was so crazy that when I dropped and I tried to call back in, she was the only one who popped up where I can hear her talking to
me.
No,
I was on there, but you had to press 1 in order for me to get back in.
Right.
Was on.
Well, the thing is that where I had to get back on the board, and it kept dropping for me in order to do that. Then I went back over to the board, but I was trying to get back on. You know how it is where you have to call in as the host. You have to call in and put in your pin. So that's what I had to do in order to access the board. All right, so I'm back on. So anyway, but you guys, we only have like maybe, 11 minutes left, and I want to thank Time and Chip for chiming in. Grace in Hawaii, thank you so much for chiming in. And 202, thank you for listening in. I know
Courtney's not here today?
Excuse me?
Courtney's not here?
No, she's not here. And then I saw Officer Crenshaw pop up, but I don't know what happened. He might have hung up because of the problems that we've been having. And that's understandable. And I'm going to make sure that's corrected when we come back. So in closing, 9/11, and I'm asking you, Janet, what does that mean to you now, and how do you look at it going forward? And it was mentioned, as Grace said, it should be a national holiday. What does today mean to you, seeing that it's evening time, there's a lot of concerts and shows going on around the country? There's one going on here in Atlanta, right there in front of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Johnny Gill and a host of others, I think the Whispers are performing. And it is a Saturday, I mean, you know, and people are glad to get out and see live concerts. What's your thoughts on that? Are we at a point where we could feel comfortable with these viruses out and do these type of celebrations? I did go to one last week, and they were very protective. Some venues, definitely you can't go into unless you can prove that you've had a vaccine, and some don't. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I like the idea that our president said they were going to try to make it mandated that everybody has to be vaccinated, because it's like playing Russian roulette. I don't want to go around a whole lot of people, even though I've had both shots and I'm going to get the booster. I still have to use sanitizer and wear my mask, you know, because it's just, I don't want to die. I have a lot of pre-existing conditions. And I know a few people recently who almost died and was refusing to get the shot and ended up going to the hospital, and they thought they had COVID, but they had blood clots in their lungs. They could have died.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So you can't just ignore something and think that it's going to be okay. If you're not well, you need to take care of yourself, and you have to think about others in your family and your friends, you know? So I'm just glad they're going to mandate people getting a shot, or they have to get the test every week. So maybe this
they're saying that for the people who work in the medical field,
that don't want to do the shot, that they have to be tested. Now, I have to say this. For some folks, it would be great if everyone got the shot, right? It would be great. But a lot of folks have a negative thought about the shot. And I understand their point of view. You have to respect folks for their point of view, and you can't force anyone to do anything unless it's government mandated or it becomes a law. And there's a lot of things that, you know, they have said it's the law, and we have to abide by them, right? But if it comes to the point of in the medical field of the individuals, and I like the way they do this, of where either you get the shot or you have to be tested, that is okay with me. That's okay with me.
I didn't think it was just for the medical field, because the one governor said they want to sue the Biden.
Right, right. In fact, it was the governor of Florida who wants to sue the administration, right. But I think that with the situation, because no one can deny the fact that this exists anymore, I think that there's a lot of people who felt like this coronavirus and now the Delta virus, keep in mind those are two different things. Okay, folks don't understand that Corona 19 is different than the Delta virus. It's not the same thing, and some people unfortunately think it's all one and the same, but it really isn't. So, I mean, and this is just my opinion. I may be wrong, but I think that it's for the goodness of everybody. And looking at this Delta virus is picking up speed in different states, especially Florida and Texas. You know, we have to really pay attention to it. And people have to really look at it where if you don't want to get the shot, that's fine. You have the right to not have something put into your body. But remember, there was a time when you had to have something put into your body for you not to get other viruses. So that's what I find interesting, is that there was a time
Can you do a show with this so I can interject? You know, because I refuse to get jabbed.
Sure, yeah.
I refuse to get jabbed.
I would love to do a show on a lot of things, Grace.
You know, because I need to ask Janet. Did she? You know, she said she has pre-existing conditions, what have you. So, if this so-called vaccine that they say is supposed to be the cure, or whatever they call it, okay?
Well, they didn't say a cure.
Let me take that back. For whatever reason, they said that vaccine is to do right. Why, if this is supposed to be something that should help me medically, I feel that it's immorally and unethical that you're offering freaking incentives to jab somebody. That's the part I can't get back. I need to get over that. Why?
Right. I understand your point. And here's the thing, and this is how come I like for us to talk about it and discuss it. Because, well, I look at it where, you know, there's folks and friends of mine who have not taken the shot, folks and friends of mine who were definitely against it, and then they turned around and did it, you know, and they're like, okay, yeah, I'm glad I did it because at that point in time I was feeling ill and everything, and I went ahead and got, there's so many things that's going on with this that there's misunderstanding about the vaccine. And true enough, you're right, there was not enough. Most folks say that there was not enough of testing or understanding what is in the vaccine. There's been a lot of folks saying that, well, you know, conspiracy theories where they got stuff where they can track you, they can do this, it'll change your mind and your molecular, blah, 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 right? All that has been put out there on the table, and you expect that. But then I start thinking about, what about the shit that we take every day and we don't know nothing about? When you take a pain reliever
you don't read the whole bottle. When your doctor decides,
not
you know,
everyone,
I'm just saying. I'm
not
saying
everyone,
you personally.
Because they try.
But I'm not saying that everyone does, but there's millions that do, and there's a lot.
And millions,
you know,
that don't.
But, you know, so I'm just saying that it's really interesting that here this, and as I said, and we're only down to like 3 minutes, and I'd love to come back and have this conversation more. But what gets me is that it opens up a Pandora box, in a sense, for the questions. You follow me? It opens up a Pandora box of, we don't have the answers. We do have many questions. Every one of us have questions. But it just amazes me, and it makes me want to get deeper into conversations like this with you and other folks of where, okay, so where do we look at what we trust and don't trust? We trust medications, but we don't know what's all in the ingredients. But we know that they tell us this will stop this. We see stuff on television that tells us we got all kinds of stuff. And then again, remember, this is a pandemic, not an epidemic.
Plandemic.
There's a difference between the two, right? So this is worldwide. So I'm sorry, there's noise in the background. But for us as Americans to think this is only happening to us, we are very stupid to think that. It's happening all around the world. And why is that happening? If it was a pandemic. Thank you. That's a good conversation. And that's what something that someone else had said, a new world order. And I watched a movie one time recently, and I'll share that later on, that was very interesting about new world order. Even though you have enemies, or we claim we have enemies, which we do, or we disagree, but at some point, maybe there is something that's going on. That goes back to, like I said, conspiracy theory. So we have to look at it in a sense of what do we know and what do we not know. We have to figure that out. We have to ask those questions. And we're not asking those questions. Because every day there are companies around the world that are putting out products.
Did you listen to Joe Biden's speech a couple of days ago?
I'm not worried about Joe Biden, to be honest.
No. I want you to listen to certain things that he said in his speech that we're
okay.
Going to be in for. We're gonna be caught flat-footed. Some crap. And I was like, what the hell does he mean by that? Some rhetoric he was saying, you know. But
well,
it's kind of ridiculous
crap, but
for him to be talking like that.
Well, if you can share with me where you heard that, and I'd like to hear it.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
On
please
IG.
Do.
I'll send it to you on IG.
Okay.
On Instagram.
I think everybody who's on the website listening to the show, you're gonna probably get cut off. We're gonna just do a couple more minutes. We are 1 minute past our scheduled time. But I definitely want to give everybody a chance to, speak out and say goodbye. And I can't say happy. A happy day today. This is a day, like you both said, of reflection. I couldn't go to no barbecue today. I couldn't go to no concert, today. Because this is 9/11, why I wanted to do this show. What is there to celebrate? You can remember and reflect, but I just can't see myself going out and partying. I just can't see it.
But they weren't doing it today as a celebration. It was a reflection of the ones who have lost their lives.
I understand that, Janet. And I'm not being disrespectful, and I'm not saying that people are wrong for going out and living their lives. Go ahead and do so.
But when people say, well, I'm doing this because of 9/11, no, you're not. There's a difference. And there are people who are, who I've seen post, I'm doing this, I'm going out, I'm partying, you know, celebrating the lives of these individuals. No, you're celebrating yourself at that point in time. You can go on and enjoy your life, but don't use 9/11 to make an excuse for what you're doing. You do what you do. That's fine. To me, that's being, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Do what you do. And it's a blessing for folks to be able to get out in public and go to concerts and go to shows and events. It's great that we got to that point. Unfortunately, in some cases, people are still getting sick. And people say, well, folks have been getting sick forever before COVID-19, before the Delta virus. People can get sick and die from different things, cancer, all kinds of things. But these viruses elevate and make it become more prevalent than normal. Hospitals have never been overcrowded as much as they have been in recent times. That's been proven as a fact.
And 90-some% of the people in the hospital are the ones who didn't get the vaccine that has COVID.
Well, that's been said.
Not true.
Right.
Not true.
That's true. Mm. Said. Okay. Well, Grace, you said that's not true, but okay, so
no, it's not true. And I want to ask you, why does people?
I want to ask you a question.
No. Why does people have to pay for COVID test?
No, but my question to you, you said that's not true. My question to you is, who is telling the truth and who is lying? You said that's not true, right? So my question is,
Yeah. So
what is the truth and where are you getting your information from so I can take a look at where you're getting your information from? Because everybody's getting information from every place. So I'm kind of interested. When Janet says, this is what's going on, and you said that's not true, well, Janet's getting
those,
her information.
Those people that got vaccinated, they're spreading this thing. They are spreading the thing. Remember where I work now. Remember where I work. Okay?
Remember okay, I work so, the so but keep in mind, okay, now, Joe Levy was on the show not too long ago. Joe Levy got COVID. In fact, he was on the show.
How did Joe get the COVID? I'm going to explain to you.
What Joe shared with us.
Okay, go ahead. Joe was
on Jay King's show one day and shared the fact that, in fact, prior to him coming on, Joe was on our show along with D. Lucas promoting a concert they were doing in Sacramento. And I thank them both for being on. But shortly after that, Joe got COVID. I didn't know this. I tuned into Jay King's show, was listening to the show, and he shared what he went through. I contacted Joe and said, hey, man, I heard you. I'd like for you to come on the show because I don't know anybody on our show. I didn't know anybody personally who had experienced COVID-19. And he said, okay, cool. So he did. But prior to him coming on the show, he said, I learned something different, though, Mike. I don't try to advocate folks taking the shot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because I learned something different. And he shared on the show, Janet, you were there, of where individual Alice, I forgot her last name, but I pulled her up, who was a black virologist, shared the fact that, according to what she said, getting the shot now is not going to help you if you get the Delta virus. It's a different It's a different virus. That's according to what he said. Janet, am I right? Yeah. So, but still, the in my opinion, or from what I understand, is that the Corona-19 is still out there. But here's another virus. You said there's another one.
No, wait. Even with the Delta, Michael, they said that your chances of not dying is you're decreasing your chances to die if you're vaccinated. You can still get COVID, but you're not going to die.
Okay.
That's what
they said. Okay. All right. Okay.
Oh,
I understand that point of view. But then there are people who have not taken the shots that have survived. In fact, I'm pretty sure I know many, you know, and you know, there's different ways that folks have said this is the way that you don't have to take a medication or take whatever the government is offering, you know. And that's what gets me, and it's a good conversation. It's something to look at. Everybody has a different point of view, you know, of what they want to take and what they don't. But still, and again, I look at people who said, I'm not going to take the shot and wind up getting the virus, beg for the shot, and still die. What do you do about
that?
They
can't get the shot once they got it. They have to wait so many days after they're healed, if they're
I understand that. I understand that. But
Michael,
some
remember I told you I just buried my brother.
Right.
My brother died in June, and his girlfriend took him against his will and get that vaccine. Okay. Still waiting to find out why my brother died. He got both of them shots. So there you go. So nobody who got the shot, I'm not going to tell nobody not to get the shot or don't get the shot. But from what I've seen, and like I told you, I work at the hospital, the VA hospital, and I've seen some things. So there you go.
Okay.
And I will not take
and that's interesting. And that's interesting. But you know what? No medication is guaranteed. I've come to realize that, me personally. I mean, it's just like I can't take penicillin. I have to take biocillin. I'm allergic to penicillin. I have to have biocillin. Not every medication is guaranteed and meant for everybody. That's a fact. Am I right or wrong, Janet?
My daughter's the same way, Michael. She can't take penicillin. She can't take pain medicine. But she got the shot. She got the shot. She got both. And she's getting the booster, and I'm getting the booster. My chances, like I said, I do have a lot of pre-existing conditions, and I would rather take the chance of taking the shot and let it be less for me than for me to not take the shot and end up dying because I'm allergic to almost everything. I have severe asthma.
And Janet, you said something earlier saying you're afraid to die. We all going to die somewhere or the other.
I know we're all going to die, but no.
So why are you afraid?
You're not gonna, hold on, ladies. Stop for a minute, please. She did not say afraid to die. She said, I don't want to die. No, she said, I don't want to die. She didn't say afraid. She said, I don't want to die. And I understand her point of view.
Okay.
She don't. Well, right. She don't want to die No, she said she don't want to die based on the fact that she can prevent her death, according to how she looks at it, and not letting that happen sooner than what is expected.
Look,
I understood.
If the master,
you're definitely right. But Grace, honestly. You're right. You're saying that we all going to die. We know that. But I do know that she said, not afraid, that I don't want to die.
Okay.
And I think the reason why she said it is that she don't want to die sooner than she should. So she's going to.
But
like,
listen,
we all
what do you mean? Well, hold on, Michael. What do you mean sooner than should? Nobody knows the time or hour when they're going to die.
Based on the fact that here is a virus out here, she chose to take the shot to prevent her death
based on the fact
from
that
getting COVID.
Thousands of people, right, thousands of people have died
you're
from
still,
this pandemic.
You're still
going
to get COVID. You're still going to get COVID.
I can get it, but I'm not going to die from it. I'm not going to die from it. It won't be as
well, and that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing is that where, you know, everybody has an opinion about taking the shot or not taking the shot, life or death. Now, I understand both points of view, but there's no clear picture of this whatsoever. This is something that has never happened to the world in recent times.
Because
there's been epidemics.
There has been
epidemics, and very rare, there's been pandemics.
This thing has been planned. It's a pandemic. It's been planned.
Okay. So, and that's your point of view. And there are some folks that agree with you.
The plan proof from? That it was planned.
But Grace, I understand what you're saying. I mean, Derek Muhammad, great friend of mine, I love him with all my heart, and he loves talking about stuff like this. And I agree.
Yeah, me and Derek talk all
disagree.
The time. We talk all the
right.
time.
Right. I agree, and sometimes I disagree, because the thing is that where everybody has their own point of view, right? But
you're right, Michael. Everybody has their
question,
opinion.
But what I'm saying is that my question is that, okay, why is it that here in America, we look at it as just happening to us? In fact, and the numbers show, agree with the numbers or not, I don't know, but the numbers show that America has the most deaths based on this virus than any other country in the world. We have the most deaths. We've had a president who said, follow me for a minute. We had Satan in the White House. Yes, I call him Satan. In the White House, he said, 15 people, okay, it's not a problem. He brushed it off. He kept brushing off and brushing off.
Knowing it was killing people, he brushed it off. He wanted everybody to think it was no big deal.
Okay, so I'm not going to change the conversation into Donald Trump, but we already know that it was not. And then he got the cocktail, right? He went to Walter Reed because he got the virus. How the hell did that happen? So he goes to Walter Reed.
How did the president of the United States get New World Order?
The leader of the most powerful country in the world, who brushed it off, goes to Walter Reed Hospital, gets the best treatment for coronavirus, and comes out unscathed.
Trump is not part of the New World Order, Janet. I don't like Trump.
No. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
They think he's the Messiah, Grace. They think he's going to round everybody up and take them to Guantanamo Bay. He loves QAnon.
I gotta say this, ladies. Donald Trump has been the worst president ever. We can all agree on that. But Donald Trump is about money. Now think about it. These shots are for free.
Right. He was trying to change.
There are countries.
Hold on.
These shots are for free.
Nothing in
now,
America
let me
is free. That's not true.
But okay. No, right. But these shots are for free. Okay.
No, they're not.
But remember, I'm trying to finish. But remember that there are countries around the world that don't get the shot, and they're asking for them. They're begging for the shot. Now think about that,
Michael.
Hold on. In Africa, which I know you visit many times, but in different countries in Africa, and for you folks who are listening, Africa is not a country; it's a continent with countries within itself, over 100. All right, but there are countries in Africa where they have the coronavirus
and they don't get a vaccine. They're not getting it.
Exactly.
All right, and they're many of those countries are begging for a vaccine. Now here in the United States, here in the United States, we have a debate on whether the vaccine is legitimate. You know, does it work? It's not the right thing. That's what we are able to do that. But in those countries, they don't have that. They just know that people are dying around them based on having the virus. That's just the bottom fucking line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only going to look at what they see in front of them. Their loved ones and their family dying, and they're seeing it happening around the world, not just in their country, not just in the United States, not just in Russia, not just in China, around the world. Pandemic. This virus is affecting the world, not an epidemic that's within a certain, like Ebola was pretty much in a certain country and it got out. But you know what? The doctors and everything, we managed to save them. So for me personally, I'm like, this is interesting. I never imagined in my life I would experience a pandemic. And the pros and cons about it, the differences that people have about, you know, this vaccine, and I do agree that it was amazing how all of a sudden here's a cure, or a so-called cure, but it's not a cure. It really isn't a cure. I don't think anybody said this is a cure.
They never said it was a cure. They said treat it. Treatment.
Well, most folks say it's a treatment, right? I really haven't heard.
So, where's the treatment for cancer? Where's the treatment for all the
exactly.
other ailments that we've been having?
Well, here's the thing.
Where
that's a good.
People are
that's
dying
a good
from
question.
That. Every where are those?
That's
treatments?
A good. Here's the difference, and I'm going to tell you, and that's a damn good question. That's a damn good question. See. Corona was not a virus that's been around or a condition for many years. It just popped out of nowhere, and it became a pandemic. Cancer is everywhere in every country. But still and again, cancer is something that has a different effect than the coronavirus. The coronavirus can kill you within weeks, days, months, whatever the case may be. People have
it's
had
just
cancer.
Like AIDS, Michael. AIDS had a death sentence.
Hold on. Let me finish. But cancer is a long-term situation where they can medicate you and also they can have you do treatment. See, the money.
I think it's falling off.